Hi, it's Randy Morrison, Associate Editor of thecorporatecouncil.net. I'm here today with Matt Arsaw, Director of Capital Markets Policy for the CFA Institute. In this podcast, Matt discusses the combined and split CEO chair roles in the context of Bank of America's recent shareholder vote. Matt, thank you so much for taking the time today to discuss this hot topic.
Thanks for having me.
What was this vote all about?
Well, it was about, I think it was about two things, really. I think the headline was the chairman and CEO of Bank of America, whether or not he should be chairman and CEO. The board passed a bylaw last year to allow the board to combine the two positions. Back to 2009, in the wake of the financial crisis, Bank of America share owners voted to separate the two positions. So this was reversing the decision that shareholders made in 2009. One of the problems shareholders had was that the board made this decision to change the bylaw without consulting shareholders. So they're a bit surprised by it and taken back that they weren't consulted on it. So that's one thing, is that the vote was about the mechanics of, can the CEO be the chairman? And that's one thing. I think the other thing that's kind of lost in the headlines is this is about engagement between a company and their board. And I think in this case, it could have gone better. Whether or not, it looks like the Bank of America board dropped the ball and didn't engage with shareholders, which I think would have made things a lot better. But we're not in the boardroom, so we don't know exactly how that did or didn't happen. The headline is the chairman CEO vote. It happened earlier this week. Chairman's voted whether to combine the two positions, and with 63% of the votes, last I saw, it was approved, and that's the headline. But I think the more interesting part of this story is the engagement that didn't go on, and I think we wouldn't have gotten to this whole headline in the financial press if more engagement would have happened behind the scenes, a long time ago.
Okay, is Bank of America backsliding on corporate governance?
We're not in the boardroom, so we can't see firsthand whether or not that's the case. It appears to be in that the board and CEO position were combined. A lot of firms have been moving away from combined chairman and CEO, and the issue is there's a perceived conflict of interest there from an investor point of view. And more and more companies have been moving away from that, realizing there's a conflict of interest. So, again, it looks that that may be the case, but it remains to be seen how corporate governance of Bank of America is going forward, and is a combined chair CEO problem, whether or not that is indeed the case.
Okay, can you talk to me more about the potential conflicts of interest in combining the roles?
Sure. It's a simple principle of, the CEO, who is also the chairman, is head of the body that oversees his or her performance and pay and succession. Whether it's at the local PTA or the largest of Fortune 500 companies, an individual who sits on the head of the body that judges their performance, there's a conflict of interest there. It's just, the size of the balance sheet and income statement behind that, what flows from those decisions. There are checks and balances you can have in that role, and we'll get to those in a little while. But there's an inherent conflict of interest when you or I or anyone sits on the head of a body that oversees their performance ultimately.
Okay, so what checks and balances do companies implement when they combine the roles?
There's been a lot of interesting developments over the past decade or so in the U.S. and other markets around the world. Combined chairman and CEO was for a very long time the dominant paradigm of how a board was set up. And over the years, investors realized that there was a conflict of interest there and wanted that conflict managed in some way, whether that was to separate positions, or some companies have adopted a lead independent director who's not the chairman but does a lot of the things the chairman would do, holds meetings without the CEO present, reviews the CEO's performance without them present, and other items like that. One of the problems, though, is that the chairman is still the one who sets the agenda. So the chairman can, in a lot of ways, manage what is discussed and what's not discussed, whereas if the board had an independent chair, the CEO would have less power over what discussions don't happen in the boardroom.
Okay, what is the trend in combining and separating the roles in the U.S.?
Yeah, I didn't know the numbers of this until I looked back, you know, when we started looking into what was happening at Bank of America, and I thought, okay, well, I knew the trend was moving from combined chairman and CEO to not having one, but I wasn't sure what the numbers were. And we looked, and I believe it was, there was a Spencer Stuart report from last fall in 2014 that showed that about 10 years ago in 2004, about 74% of S&P 500 boards had a combined chairman and CEO. Fast forward 10 years later, last fall, it was right around 50%. It may even have dipped under 50% by now. So you can see the trend is going from about three-quarters of S&P 500 companies in the U.S. had a combined chairman and CEO 10 years ago, and now that's down to about half. So it seems the trend is moving towards the separation of the positions. And then even when those positions are combined, I would say a majority of those companies probably have an independent lead director. So the governance is moving in a positive direction. It'll be interesting to see another 5, another 10 years down the road where that trend goes.
Great. Thank you, Matt. This information has been so informative. I appreciate your spending the time.
Not a problem. As always, thank you.